Welcome, welcome aboard. It is the Trifecta 590 WKZO. My name is Jay. He's Roger.
Yeah.
Jimmy along with us today?
Yeah. He's there.
Jimmy, how are you?
A little better than the last time, I guess, huh?
I thought they were going to ban you from the USTAs every time you go out there, it rains.
They almost didn't let me in. I actually had to show two kinds. I almost had to give like a pint of blood and some other stuff, too.
Yeah?
Bring a signed note from our meteorologist friend, Bob.
You almost should have.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what the other stuff is.
No.
The thing, you know, was funny is as I was getting ready to put this, you know, everything together,
yeah.
It's windier today than it was the other day.
Okay.
So what I had to do is position the van and the mast someplace so that if it falls down, all it's going to do is hit the ground or hit the van.
Make sure it doesn't hit anybody, okay?
Well, me, but that's
well,
okay.
Well, that's okay, actually.
That's okay.
You're yeah. absolutely right.
So
no doubt.
My question is, when was the last time the three of us did the show?
I don't know.
It's
okay,
been a
though.
While.
Get
yeah,
the van
it's
back
okay.
there.
It's okay, though. All right, we've got plenty. We've got our nine topics. We've got Jimmy out at the USTAs. We'll hear a little tennis here in just a couple of minutes. But, of course, you want in on any of our topics today, we invite you, kindly invite you. Roger will be nice. I will be nice.
Yeah, we're all on good behavior.
Nah, speak for yourself.
Oh.
Jimmy, I'm not sure about. Jimmy's yeah. a little snarky. You know, Jimmy's filling in for Lori this week, and he's doing all this USTA stuff. Did you see him yesterday? He's a little snarky.
Yeah, he's, I call it ornery.
I call it complete snark.
Oh,
but well, so it's Jimmy, you guys took away my afternoon nap.
Jimmy may chew your head off, but that's okay. You can get in anytime. 382-4280 toll free statewide 877-382-4280 and of course those texts we love so much 80373 the number. Should we start the show, Mr. Roger?
Yes, but first
yes.
Portions of the Trifecta brought to you by Bronson Healthcare Midwest, a new partnership between the area's leading healthcare system and the largest physician group in Southwest Michigan. Go to BronsonHealthcareMidwest.com to learn more.
Got that out of the way. Let's start the show.
Okay.
Roger, you haven't ponied up for a smartphone yet, have you?
No.
Okay. Jimmy, you don't have a smartphone yet? No? All right. If you're close to a calendar, I want you to put this date down. It's August 22nd. If you can't, just write it down. If you're okay. old school, just write it down.
Okay.
August 22nd. Yes.
What's going to happen on August 22nd?
I'm glad you asked.
Inquiring minds.
Ingham County Circuit Court Judge Rosemary Aquina?
Yeah.
She was tapped to lead an investigation. Do you remember which investigation?
Jace Bolger.
There you go.
She is the one-woman wrecking crew.
She is. That's exactly.
Is she scheduled to...
She is expected to complete her work by August 22nd or seek a second extension allowing this whole probe to continue.
Which is worse for Bolger?
I think this whole thing is turning... The longer it lasts, the more people forget, and the more ridiculous it becomes. I actually think that.
Well, but this isn't done for public relations. There, it's a view if he committed a crime.
Oh, I understand that.
This isn't...
Let's put it this way. In the court of public opinion, the longer it takes, doesn't that usually mean... You could take it two ways. Depending on which side of the aisle you're on. Either they're trying to be incredibly thorough, or they don't have anything and they're really still looking.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of this depends on if you, A, like Jace Bulger, or if you, B, don't like Speaker Jace Bulger, to which side you actually believe here. The criminal indictment could be problematic, but political stakes are the highest for Bulger, according to this MLive article.
So best case scenario is she comes in and says there's nothing there. No indictment.
He's no criminal behavior. Now, keep in mind, who was it? It's Kent County prosecutor, who's a Republican.
Yeah.
Who basically said, something stinks here.
Yeah.
He basically said, look, there's nothing illegal, but it's, you know.
He didn't want to move ahead, though.
Yeah, he didn't.
And
he didn't.
Now, she has to find a prosecutor somewhere in the state that's willing to take it.
Correct.
Okay.
So at this point in time, that's where this is out, is August 22nd. Now, the question, there's a couple of questions that go along with this. From your perspective, and I know you think this case stinks and you think that he actually did something illegal.
Yeah,
that's your guess.
Yeah.
You asked me, I'm going to ask you the same question. The longer it takes, what do you think it means? If you had to interpret this a little bit, now keep in mind, this is a county circuit judge in Ingham County.
Well, he's going to finish his term, it would seem, if she asks for an extension. I mean, he's done at the end of this term anyway.
So is that
term limited?
Is that the best case scenario for Bulger?
Yeah, I'm thinking that
she asks for another extension, and at that point in time, he will ride off into the sunset, back to running his collection agency.
Yeah. If he gets indicted, that's going to be more awkward with him defending himself and trying to be the Speaker of the House.
Now, to review, what happened here was there was Roy Schmidt up in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
At the last minute, he decided to switch parties from Democrat to Republican.
It happens.
It does happen. People get smart in their older age. It's all good. You're not even biting on that one. Come on.
You get promised things. It works the same going both ways.
I know it does. I know it. But anyway.
Promises are made.
Exactly. And then there was another candidate that ran as a Democrat.
And won.
Well, eventually, yes. But there was another candidate that won. Anyway, Roy Schmidt ended up losing. And as they started to trace this thing back, there were elements of it that were traced back to the speaker directly. Texts, if I remember correctly,
there was some evidence.
Yes, texts directly.
Bringing him into this.
Yes. So, and him being the Speaker of the House, as I have said before, and I'll stand out on that limb all alone, I've met and know, at least in passing, the Speaker. I like the guy. And this was a dumb move. This is why, and the quote that I'd heard from multiple people within the party was, this is why you have people. Even if it's your idea and you hatched that idea, you never, ever, ever
have the smoking gun.
Never have the text message. Yeah. Never directly to your phone. Never, ever, 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 ever.
Not a wise thing to do.
No.
Did they learn nothing from Kwame?
That's what I was going to say. That's where I was going to go with it eventually. Yes, exactly. You never put it directly on your phone. So Roy Schmidt, he won his first two elections in the state house as a Democrat. Now he's out. Schmidt later acknowledged that his errors in judgment included to offer to pay a political novice and family friend to run as a Democrat in the Democratic primary. He's been pretty much shamed. You don't hear much about Roy Schmidt anymore and probably won't.
Yeah.
Now, again, put on your calendar August 22nd to circle back to find out exactly what's going to happen next as the circuit court decides whether to continue or ask for an extension or conclude her work.
That's 2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
I've put it on my calendar.
Do you have it on your calendar?
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy, so which way do you think this is going to go if I have to put you on the spot?
I would say best case scenario for Bulger is that Judge Aquilina comes back on August 22nd and agrees with William Forsythe and says, you know what, this was a dumb move. I mean, for someone who's supposed to be as politically savvy as Speaker Bulger is supposed to be, this was an incredibly stupid move, but there was no crime. That's the best case scenario for Bulger, because then it's all behind him And he can take the heat of doing something stupid because all he's got to do is apologize. If they do an extension, it could be one of two things. Either they're looking for something or they found something and they want to dig deeper. So I think the extension is worst case scenario for him. Best case is she comes back and says, he was dumb, but it wasn't a crime.
So what about if he gets indicted?
Well, if he gets indicted.
Well, that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. That's really worst case scenario for him.
Okay.
If she comes back and says there's enough there to indict the speaker, then that's going to throw the Republican Party into complete chaos.
Will it, though?
Yeah, I think so.
What are his plans for the future?
I think he goes back and runs his business. He owns a collection agency, Marshall.
So you don't think he has any additional aspirations?
Uh-huh. Politicians, look, once you get to that level, I don't read his mind. But once you get to that level and get a taste of that, I have a hard time believing it gets out of your blood really quick.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That he's got ambitions.
Maybe. He's got a business. If it turns out that something happens and the party decides, again, I thought for sure they were going to actually not give him or have somebody run against him for the speakership. They didn't. If it turns out that there is something in question there out of this, and the judge says, "Hey, look, wait a minute." You'll see the party probably distance themselves from the speaker, let him just kind of ride off into the sunset and be done.
Yeah, okay.
If indeed she comes back and says, look, the same thing as the Kent County prosecutor, I don't like it at all, but it wasn't illegal. I don't like it. It wasn't the right thing to do, but it wasn't illegal. All right. Then it's business as usual.
Yeah. Well, we'll know in 2 weeks, or maybe not.
Let me ask you, do you think the comments by Bill Ballinger hold any water? That he says that court has been pro-Democrat for a while and that he wouldn't be surprised if it came back with some sort of indictment because that's the way that leans?
Well, let me ask you this then. If it comes back and there is no indictment, I mean, at what point do you go, this whole thing was a sham? At what point do you go, hey, look, they were on the way wrong track here and wasted a whole heck of a lot of time. If that's the case, and they come back and say, nope,
The really awkward moment will come is if she finds a reason for prosecution and she can't find a prosecutor who will take the
somebody
case.
Somebody will take
she'll
the case.
She'll find a prosecutor. Kim Worthy comes to mind.
Somebody will take that case.
Kim Worthy in Wayne County would jump at the chance to take this.
Yeah. Somebody would take
that. I'm serious. She would run through hedges. So, I can't see you doing an extension. I really can't. I think it's going to come down one way or the other.
So you think the extension is off the table, and you think it's either going to be or no go?
I think August 22nd is going to be the day.
I think it's I believe, guys, I think it's no go.
Really?
I do. I believe it's no go.
Then. Okay.
Yep.
She'll do the same thing the prosecutor.
Yep. She'll say, look, this is
shame
this is,
on you, but
this is horrible behavior by the speaker, and she'll take him down, and verbally tongue lash, but at that point, look, nothing's illegal happening, we're done.
And the Democrats really can't complain because they basically said all we really wanted was an investigation and they got it.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Do you think he stays on
at
that point?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The only way he doesn't stay on.
Anything less than an indictment is an exoneration.
Yep. As long as there's no indictment, absolutely. Even the extension, he stays on. Once the indictment hits, then it's a whole new ballgame. Well, now we have something else to think about. Here we go.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. If he wasn't pushed out at the investigation beginning, they're not going to push him out because they extend the investigation.
Look, I know, again, I'm a little tainted. I like the guy. I just do. We'll see. We'll see what happens in 2 weeks. I think they will find nothing and move on. And that'll be the end then.
Well, and any sane person wants that to happen. They don't want
you don't think
Bulger
so?
To be found. No, I don't think there's anybody that likes having sitting, operating political officials indicted for criminal behavior.
I think there's Democrats out there that would love nothing less than that. I think there are Democrats on the far left that would love nothing less than to take Jace Bulger down in this particular scandal.
Oh, yeah.
Or is what they see as this particular scandal. I'll disagree with you, Raj.
Oh, yeah.
I think there are Democrats that would love this. Absolutely. An indictment, they'd throw a party in Lansing.
He has that many enemies?
No, he just, again, it's the other side.
You know, I don't think it has to do with anything other than how partisan this was? Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
You remember how partisan. I remember the look on some Democrats' faces at the State of the State address. You know, it was weird to see Grimal and Bulger in the same room together.
Yeah.
I mean, they really genuinely, I don't think they like each other.
Oh, I think that's pretty clear.
Well, again, I think Tim Grimal would be happy as a lark. I think he'd be skipping down the steps.
Okay.
So I'll disagree. I think there will be people that say, oh, yes, that's a great thing.
I guess I'm talking about
normal people. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're probably right on the normal people comment.
Nobody wants to see criminal activity taking place by elected officials. Nobody takes solace in that happening. Maybe some hardcore political people do. Maybe he has enemies. But I don't think your average person on the street goes, yippee, we had the Speaker of the House indicted. No, I don't think...
Oh, wait, yippee when Kwame got indicted.
Yeah.
Is he different?
He is different.
Okay.
Yeah. He was Kwame.
Yeah, that's sort of a special case.
Okay.
Exactly. By the way, speaking of Detroit, Kevin with a Y, Kevin Orr,
uh-huh.
The emergency man, says Detroit can actually get through the bankruptcy without any new borrowing.
Has he been talking to Dave Ramsey?
Yeah.
No new borrowing.
Beans and rice.
Rice and beans. Tell you what he's thinking in just moments. It is the trifecta. 590 WKZO. Trifecta, 590 WKZO. My name's Jay. He's Roger. Out at the USTA today is Jim.
Yep.
Let me give you a quick quote here. This is Kevin Orr being the emergency manager, and he says, hey, look, if we can get our cash flow free and clear, we may be able to get through this thing without necessarily borrowing a lot of money. We're on schedule. We should be able to get this done in 14 months, so I don't even anticipate the need for me to stay on.
I say that to my wife every 2 weeks.
Nor will I accept another term as emergency manager for the city of Detroit.
Yeah.
So he's thinking 14 months. I'd heard up to 2 years. And he doesn't think they'll have to actually borrow a lot of money. I don't know what to make of that when they're as far upside down as they possibly are. I don't get the math.
He's inferring that there's a bunch of people, as it's referred to, going to get a haircut. There's a lot of creditors who aren't going to get paid, is what he's saying.
Let me ask you this, then. How does he know? Because isn't the bankruptcy judge the one who's actually going to make the real call here? Or does he have a little bit of input in all this? If you're reading between the lines here, this is really what you're talking about, is reading between the lines. If we can get our cash flow free and clear, which that means, hey, look, if we can basically not have to pay any of our creditors, we may be able to get through this thing without borrowing any actual money.
And so Detroit would actually come out debt-free?
Dave Ramsey style. Well, not really, but Dave Ramsey style.
Yeah.
Does that mean that Kevin with a Y gets to go to, like, the plaza and yell, we're debt-free?
He might. He may go into the EM Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, I don't think they want him there any longer than he has to, but 14 months seems really quick. Well, again, unless you've got some knowledge as to what's going to happen here.
Well, that's the other thing that he's saying here. He doesn't think he's going to be extended
right
past the first day they can get rid of him.
Oh, and that's maybe it. I mean, that very well could. But again, you got to read between some lines there. But that's what I believe he's saying.
Yeah.
Very crazy. Not even kind of crazy. By the way, what is a prosperity plan? Oh, no, the governor's speaking of it. We'll talk about it here coming up in just minutes. It's news time now, 590 WKZO. Fly, touch, 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 It is the trifecta, 590 WKZO.
Weather brought to you by Bronson Healthcare Midwest, a new partnership between the area's leading healthcare system and the largest physician group in Southwest Michigan. Go to BronsonHealthcareMidwest.com to learn more.
All right, that's Roger. Out at the USTA's is Jim.
Yo.
My name's Jay. All right, so we have to talk a little bit about this prosperity plan that the governor is actually pitching. I don't remember hearing this before. Now, it may test all the hops and barley, but I don't remember hearing about this.
I'm thinking
this voluntary program.
I'm thinking it's taking a page from Southwest Michigan First.
Did you catch that?
That's what occurred to me as I'm reading it.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that because I kind of had that similar feeling. We'll get into that here in just a couple of minutes when we get into the story. But it does have shades of that.
Jim, do you think it sounds like Southwest Michigan First? Jim? Boy, I guess Jim is not there. I wonder if we're having communication problems. I was asking Jim if he thought this sounded like Southwest Michigan.
Well,
First.
It sounded so much like it that he keeled over at that point and
he
fainted.
He was just speechless.
I know, that's exactly it. Yeah. All right, so Bob is on the line. What do we have for a temperature, Raj?
We have 79 degrees.
79. Bobo, it's you, we've got to put him on, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You got to do that. See, this.
I'm supposed to do all this stuff over
79,
here.
79, Bob.
79 and 77 at the airport. Very close.
And
very,
not
very close.
Humid.
No. Yesterday this time, you might recall I mentioned the dew point. It was 72.
I remember, yes.
Right now, mm-hmm. 57.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. Sure is.
That's a big difference.
That leads to the word.
Okay, I'd love to hear the word. It's kind of the culmination of an entire forecast or an outcast or whatever Bob decides to come up with.
And the word is fresh.
Fresh.
It's a fresh start, a fresh change from the mugginess and haziness that we've had the past couple of days. As we've got a fresh, clean air mass from Canada coming down, it's not as chilly as the one that came down last weekend. You might recall that we had a night that dropped into the 40s.
Yes.
Not expecting that the next few nights. Cooler, yes, but tonight's low of 57. Tomorrow night's low of 57. Daytime highs right around 80. Tomorrow, maybe just shy of 80. Saturday, and no rain.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
What's average at this point?
Well, the averages have started to change, albeit very slowly.
Right.
The average now is high of 82.
Okay.
Average low is 62.
So we're still in the shot group on both.
Yeah.
All right.
Chance of rain comes Sunday night and Monday as the next front crosses the area.
All right.
Bob, why the reduction in the possible number of hurricanes this year?
Well, I don't know if I can answer that necessarily. I think it probably, in a nutshell, has to do with the large amount of Saharan dust that has come across. It's a constant theme this summer so far that have been blowing across Africa and out into the tropical Atlantic.
Yeah.
What that entails is a lot of dry air in an area that's normally very moist. That has, to this point, kind of inhibited development, although, as I mentioned to you a few times, Roger, the season really doesn't get going typically until August 15th. We're not even to August 15th yet, but I think the overall assumption is we would have had a little more than four named storms by now. We've had four, not six or eight, so since it seems to be a little bit starting a bit slow, probably less in terms of a total number.
You two guys want to geek it up for a moment?
Yeah.
Because you're good at geeking it up.
We have geek numbers to talk about.
All right, geek it up, Bob.
So far this year, our average temperature has been about 54 degrees. That's 5.2. Excuse me. Let me start that over again.
Wait, take two.
Take two.
Yeah, get all out of place when we do this on a Thursday.
I know.
Last year, 54 degrees. That was 5 degrees warmer than average. This year, we're about a half degree below average, so it's a 5.5 degree swing. And perhaps even more dramatic is the turnaround in precipitation. Last year's total at this point in August, total for the year was 15 and a third. This year, just shy of, about 29 and a half. From 15 and a third to 29 and a half, almost double.
Almost double.
The rainfall. Last year was 5 inches below. This year it's 9 inches above, helped along by a lot of storms. Most recently, of course, the downpours that we had yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, for the month, we're only a week into the month, but we can also see differences. Last year, the first week of August came in 3.3 degrees warmer than average. Even though it has been muggy the past few days, we're still about 4.5 degrees cooler than average so far this August. because of the very chilly start to the month. So that is a about an 8-degree swing. Precipitation last year in August, we had next to nothing at this point, 0.02 of an inch. This month, already, 1 week into the month, we've had almost 2.5 inches of rain. So that's a big difference.
That's a huge difference. I just have to say I liked last year. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I
know.
Kind of figure.
Well, I know.
And I would also point out, that just because we have a cool summer does not necessarily translate
to a snowy fall.
Yeah.
A miserable winter.
I mean, it could. There's really no correlation one way or the other. So don't necessarily push the panic button just yet.
All right.
Okay.
Bobo, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, have a good weekend.
You
we'll
too.
Talk to
thank
you on Monday.
You.
All right, so Bob's off tomorrow.
Oh, he
well,
is?
Yeah, he is. That's why we had to, that's why we had to geek it up today.
Oh.
You don't remember these things. I know, you're just right. I know, I got to remind you.
Yeah.
All right, so Roger's there. I don't know if Jim is going to be with us or not, but we'll try to get Jim back at the USTA as we'll talk to him here. I wanted to bring him in and you in too. Governor Snyder hoping to boost regional economies across Michigan. The state has set aside a $2.5 million voluntary program in which regions can apply for money to create prosperity plans and qualify for different amounts of funding depending on the extent of which they share administrative services or even consolidate various planning and workforce development boards along with like economic development districts. As part of the initiative, Snyder is ordering state departments to start serving 10 regions around the state. His aides say there are now at least 80 different geographic areas served by state agencies dealing with everything from public health to roads to prisoner reentry into society.
So the governor's office is going to decide how these regions are built? He's going to determine who gets lumped into
what region?
He's
ordering this. Let's see. He's ordering state departments to start serving 10 regions around the state.
Who's is this the same group that did the districts? The
I don't know. Not sure.
Because you've really got to put the right entities together.
Oh, absolutely.
In these groups.
Not a doubt.
This has to be done correctly.
And I think that's why the prosperity plans. You'll be able to take a look and go, okay, that doesn't make sense, or this does make sense, or that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But it sure does sound like taking Southwest Michigan First's model to the rest of the state.
Well, this is the other piece, too.
It does, doesn't it?
It does. The other piece is, hey, look, he's been big on consolidation. I mean, if you remember correctly, that was one of the things that he was trying to incentivize consolidation, even in his first year as governor.
Yeah.
You know, he was trying like crazy to come up with a way to incentivize that, because let's face it, for a lot of communities, it's really difficult. They don't want to consolidate. You don't want to give, because you got to give up some control. You got to give up some power, just the way that it works. And egos get bruised.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the way where you have, hey, look, here's a $2.5 million pot. It's completely voluntary. If you want the money, come up with a plan. It's kind of like when you were in school and you have extra credit.
Yeah.
Here's extra credit. If you want part of this $2.5 million, here's what you got to do. Come up with a plan. Figure out a way to consolidate anything and pitch it to us. And we'll tell you, hey, that sounds like a great idea, or B, not so much.
His wanting to reduce governmental entities, just the number of them, and to look for efficiencies is one of the few things I agree with the guy on.
Hang on. I just want to relish that moment for a moment, but that's okay.
I think in Kalamazoo County, we have 26 governmental entities. Way too many. Way too many.
And let's face it, we could use a chunk of that money.
Oh, absolutely. And we've got an organization that's got a track record,
yeah,
of being successful, of actually bringing home the bacon.
Under Snyder's plan, it looks like nonprofit sectors could get up to $250,000 to create regional prosperity collaboratives, $375 for a regional prosperity council, or $500,000 for a regional prosperity board. They'd have to approve the 5 to 10 year economic development blueprints and have measurable annual goals and update their progress. But hey, look, 500 grand is 500 grand. Take that for what it is. And who knows what may come out of that? This is the thing. Everybody's kind of been, you talk to anybody about that C word and they get all jittery.
Yeah.
And certain people are I think more honest than others. You know, we've had several in here when we talk about the consolidation where some of them squirm and some of them are very very open and honest to the point where they say, hey, look, I hope this happens. I hope we're able to do something. I hope we're able to just sit down and talk. Look, if anything, if this does anything, it's basically a $375,000 or a $250,000 or a $500,000 reason to sit down, create something, and have a conversation. It's a conversation starter, and they're paying you to have a conversation starter is what I can read into this.
But it's not clear to me who the target for this money is, who they're going to convince to step up and do this, how we're going to identify these 10 regions in the state that
don't
the
know.
Government has in mind.
Don't know. And I don't know. And that's why I think it's a pilot plan, and that's why it's a voluntary program, and that's why it's one of those, hey, let's throw this against the wall and see what sticks. And again, if you have 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 communities that take you up on that, who knows what may happen out of that?
Okay, Jay, if let's look at Kalamazoo County.
All right.
Who do you see stepping up and leading this process?
One name comes to mind. Probably the same name that came to your mind. Ron Kitchens.
Okay.
He certainly can help to lead a lot of that. I think, you know who else I think could actually be a force in that? Sheriff Fuller.
Yeah.
I think he would be someone who would want to sit down and have that kind of conversation.
Yeah. He thinks along those lines.
He does think along, you know, again, he does think along those lines.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure you don't involve Mayor Hopewell and Peter
Battani. I think Peter Battani would be great. I think you'd have several people on the commission, the city commission, that would love to have that conversation. I think you'd have several people on the county board that could have that conversation. I think you'd have a lot of folks that would at least entertain the conversation. That's all you're talking about. You're not talking about saying, hey, look, here's what we're going to do. It's a top-down version, and here's the one-size-fits-all plan. What I like about this is it's saying, hey, look, it's voluntary. You want to do it, great. If you don't want to do it, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
And it's coming from you. We're not telling you what to do. All we're telling you is, here's what we'd like. Here's the conversation we'd like everyone to have. If you want to have it, great. If you don't want to have it, that's fine. And whatever you come up with, we'll tell you, go or no go.
Ron Kitchens would be a good choice in my mind, because that takes it away from the parochial perspective of Peter Battani thinking just from the county's perspective, and they may be on the receiving end of responsibilities. If you have Ron Kitchens in, he doesn't represent the county, the city of Kalamazoo, the city of Portage. He represents bringing businesses to Southwest Michigan.
Agreed.
And he would take some of the politics out of this,
But I think if you're going to be successful, you need to have folks from the county and from the city and from other entities within Kalamazoo to be able to, you need buy-in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, absolutely. You're going to need buy-in. So yeah. They need to be at the table.
Yeah. We need the townships involved.
Oh, yeah. You need to be at the table.
But the leadership of it not being from one political entity in the county, I think, would be a benefit.
I think you're right. I can't disagree. As wide a range of people as you possibly can gather that want to have the conversation, put them in a room, see what happens.
Yeah.
I think you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I think a lot of folks would be very surprised as to what could come out of that. Look, it's a conversation starter. I give it to the governor. I think it's a good plan. We'll see who takes him up on it. All right?
Yeah.
The Tigers, can we talk a little bit about that, Jimmy? Because this has been nothing short of a wonder run.
I know, isn't it cool?
Yeah, it is. We'll hit that here in just a couple minutes, being the Tiger station in Kalamazoo. That is on the way. 590 WKZO, it is the Trifecta. It is the Trifecta, 590 WKZO. My name is Jay, he's Jim.
Yo.
That guy over there is Roger.
Ta-da.
11 straight, Jimmy.
12.
Is this an all-time record?
No.
Uh, How many do they have to have in a row to get to a record? Do you know? Have any idea?
Didn't Baltimore win like 20 or 21 in a row?
It was crazy insane.
I don't care about Baltimore. I'm talking the Tigers.
I'll find out and let you know after the break.
Oh, okay. That'd be
I
cool.
I think they've won 12 in a row, didn't they?
No, it's 11. We go for 12 tonight, I thought.
Oh, okay. And who better to go tonight than the ace?
Yeah, not Verlander.
No, Max.
Who would ever thought?
I know.
They last won 12 consecutive games in 2011.
And the Indians are in second place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so every game against the Indians that you win is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at the standings today. Look, Minnesota's out of it. So is Kansas City. So you're really down to about a two. Minnesota looks ugly. And Chicago. Kansas City kind of is into it, but not really. But this turns out to be a two-horse race here between the Tigers and the Indians. So you got Scherzer on the mound tonight at 16-1. I got to ask you, Jim, did you really think that Max Scherzer was going to be 16-1 at this point?
No.
Did anyone believe Max Scherzer was going to be 16-1? Best start since Roger Clemens? I mean, this is insane. This team is on a roll. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens tonight. 6:40 start for the pregame. You're listening to Dan Dickerson and Jim Price.
So when they beat the Indians, that means the Indians drop back by two, right?
Another game. Full game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because the Tigers win and
right.
They lost.
So it's like five games now is where they're at now. It's a five-game lead. It's awesome.
Roger?
Yeah.
Two times the Tigers have had 14-game winning streaks.
So they're close to
yes,
a record.
Hang on. I'm knocking on wood as we speak.
The trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.